guys, welcome to the film podcast. I'm Jenny.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Rory.
And I'm Michelle.
And we're going to be talking about our experience at Comic-Con this year. We just got back. It is Wednesday after Comic-Con, and we are all still exhausted. Woohoo! Yay.
No, I'm okay.
I'm exhausted.
I slept today.
I'm the only exhausted
one. I'm still tired.
So we're going to kind of try to go through it quickly because there's a lot to say and we want to do it as, make this not too long. I think the first thing we should talk about is probably the stuff that was outside, just because I know we didn't get to do very much of it because we were all in panels mostly. So maybe we should talk about a couple of the things that we did do outside. Let's see. I went to the Fear the Walking Dead experience thing. That's the new Walking Dead show.
Was it scary?
It was not scary. You go up, you went upstairs and you went to into an old church that like all the windows were boarded up and stuff. And there were a bunch of like little camps that you could walk through and like look at all their stuff. And there was blood everywhere and graffiti. And so LA, am I right?
Anyways. Were there walkers?
No, there's no walkers.
Oh, because in The Walking Dead, on the floor, they had like the walkers.
There were no walkers.
Yeah, they had them in like the glass cages, right?
I think because this is still new, they are almost like, they don't want you to see it yet.
Well, they have walkers, won't they?
Well, I know. Yeah. I feel like that's what they're like. We don't know what this is.
We did go see the panel. So we will talk a little bit more about the Fear of the Walking Dead later. Cause we did see the panel and there was some, information about walkers and stuff and that. So we will discuss that later.
Anybody else? You guys went to the Xbox and Nintendo Lounge. What do you have to say? Anything?
Yeah, we did.
Anything? Yeah. Oh, and the Battlefront stuff. So what was your favorite stuff?
Battlefront,
yeah. As much as I liked other things we played, Battlefront just stole it.
Battlefront was amazing.
Thinking back, even if there was something wrong with it, it didn't matter because it was Star Wars.
I don't know what would have been wrong with it.
That's right. I can't think of anything.
Oh, it did crash that one time.
Oh, yeah. It was an alpha.
We beat it, and we didn't get the cutscene because it crashed.
Yeah, we beat Wave 6, the survival mode, and then it crashed on us, so we didn't get to see the winning cinematic.
Yeah, the guy ran over was like, oh, whoa, whoa.
And he's very quick to go, well, this isn't the final game. But we're like, we got it.
You're like, I'm going to buy it.
But
dude.
Calm down. You don't have to worry about that.
It wasn't clear because they didn't give us headsets, so we couldn't hear what they were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Were we on the new planet?
No, we were on Tatooine.
What were we doing there?
We had gotten stranded, and because there was a cutscene at the beginning, we had gotten stranded, and they were sending a rescue party, but we had to fend off a like swarm of Imperial troops.
How do you know it's Tatooine?
And an AT-ST.
Did they say it?
Yeah.
Oh, I just missed it.
Yeah.
So we're on Tatooine.
Other
and
stuff.
Admiral
at
Fishhead, whose name I can't remember, was sending people.
Akbar.
Admiral Fishhead.
Yeah, I guess I didn't do hardly anything outside. Did you guys do anything else? Did anybody do the Game of Thrones experience this year?
No, I never even saw it.
Oh, it was across the street from the Omni.
We did the Assassin's Creed.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
They waited for a really long time to get no t-shirt.
You did too.
I said we did.
Oh, okay.
We waited.
I thought you said they. I thought you were trying to remove yourself from the whole story.
They did.
Jenny did it in cosplay.
Yeah, she did it as Son from Princess Mononoke.
Yeah. It was
pretty epic.
It was kind of cool. I mean, it was very much like American Ninja Warrior.
But easier.
But way easier. Because
we all finished.
I know. Everybody finished. Not a single person didn't finish, I don't think.
Well,
Somebody may have
not finished later.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, don't make them feel bad.
Everybody finished.
Girl, I didn't finish.
It sucked, though, because we were waiting in line for, close to 3 hours waiting for this thing.
Oh, wow, 3 hours.
But because of how it was constructed, like, none of us could see any of us go through it.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I was about to say, did you guys get any good pictures of Jenny in costume?
No. Like, Jenny went through first.
Oh, shoot.
And we could kind of see her, like, fly across the rope thing.
Yeah, the zip
line.
We
saw her on the zip line, and then I think maybe a little bit.
They took a picture of you on the zip line.
Did you get the picture?
Yeah.
Or did you have to pay for it?
No, I got it. I posted it on my Twitter, I think. I posted it on Facebook.
And then they asked Rory and I, they're like, you want to go through it together? We're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, what?
Yeah.
they asked us if we could.
Oh, they
go.
Thought you were boyfriends. That's cute.
Wow, that's interesting.
Aww. We are cute.
Yeah.
We got through somewhere where we said that.
Oh,
I can't remember where.
The ice cream thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they thought we were together.
They let us both use his thing to get the free ice cream.
Because we were together.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's nice.
We also did go to the Nintendo Lounge, too, and it was real boring.
It was.
The only game I kind of liked was the Zelda game.
Yeah, but there was the guy who does the voice of Mario on stage.
Oh, yeah, that was when we were there.
Yeah. So it's a me, a Mario. He's very old.
I feel like
very,
that room.
Wow.
That room.
Wow. That seems really racist. Wow.
That room was like designed, though, to get us excited about those games, and it didn't.
Didn't work.
I don't know if, I mean, I know that's their intent, but.
Does PlayStation have a room too?
No.
They have a trailer.
They never do?
They do the outside stuff. They were with Battlefront because the marketing, and they were with Call of Duty because they have the marketing.
That's
but they
right.
didn't
okay.
have a PlayStation room except on the floor.
Okay.
Well, and they had the trailer outside.
That was with Call of Duty.
Yeah, right. But that was their only, like, PlayStation exclusive thing. Was a trailer in front of Nerd HQ.
And how was the Xbox Lounge?
The Xbox Lounge was... We played Cuphead, man.
Cuphead was awesome.
It was so good. It's like Contra.
Yeah, it's this
like,
game...
It's so hard.
No, it's this game like Contra, but the graphics are done in the like a 30s cartoon style, like a Fleischer Studios cartoon style that looks immaculate. Like, it looks like you're playing an old Felix the Cat cartoon.
Nice.
Like, it is gorgeous.
And it never breaks. It's like...
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah. It's super weird and gorgeous, and it's fun as hell. Yeah. And the Guitar Hero Live.
So instead of 5 buttons, there's 2 rows of 3 buttons. So you have to move your fingers up and down.
That's pretty cool.
I'm already really bad at Guitar Hero, so I'd just be terrible at that.
Yeah, I was really bad at it until like halfway through when it just like clicked. And then I was pretty good at it.
And we didn't know the songs.
Oh, that's true.
There are 3 songs to choose from, and it's hard to play a song you don't know.
Oh, yeah. You didn't even know them. Oh,
no,
I didn't know.
It was like a Fallout Boy song.
Oh,
and
God.
Then 2 other things. Yeah, I know. It was a poor selection.
You're like, what is this, Coldplay? What is going on here?
I would have loved Coldplay.
And then the other big one we played was Fable Legends.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
So the 4 heroes versus 1 person playing a villain.
Yeah, who's like a dungeon master who's playing like a strategy game. So he gets to place all the enemies like on the map for them. And then the other 4 go through and fight them.
Interesting.
So that was fun.
The only thing I did that was outside was I did the Orphan Black meetup on Saturday morning, which was BBC America always hosts an Orphan Black meetup and usually also a Doctor Who meetup. The way it was organized this time, you kind of had to pick one or the other because the line for the Doctor Who meetup, since it was right after Orphan Black, you couldn't get in line, basically. So I chose to do the Orphan Black meetup, which was set up like, if you're familiar with the show, the Allison clone, who this year was elected to the school board. So it was her celebration party for being elected to the school board.
Oh, cool.
So that's what this was. And it was fun. And although Tatiana wasn't there. So,
really?
Yeah, you're like, okay, so the lead actress, they had the rest of the cast there, the male clone, they had Mrs. S, they had Donnie, who kind of hosted the whole thing. And Donnie's quickly become my favorite character on the show. So that was really fun. Even did like a twerking contest and things like that, that were kind of ridiculous. But the coolest thing there was I found out, Booger, our Metatron, if you're a Supernatural fan, is a fan of Orphan Black because he was at the meetup just chilling. And I went over and I was like, hey, are you a member of the Clone Club? And he had like an Orphan Black t-shirt on. And then he took a picture with me, which was really nice. So
it's
completely random.
I feel like he's the kind of guy that if you go to the right bar in the valley, you'll find him every Tuesday night or something.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Where is Tatiana? Is she filming right now?
She had to, I guess she did the Orphan Black panel and then she had to fly out of town for something. But they didn't specify what. I don't think filming, because literally the entire cast as well as showrunners were at.
No, I mean filming something else.
She just said that she did like a video thing where she was like, I'm sorry, I can't be there, guys, because it was set up as a brunch. So she's like, brunch is my favorite meal. I'm so sad. But she
Poor
had to
excuse.
Go. I know, right?
Poor
she
excuse.
Had to. She just said she had to fly out. So I have no idea.
We all like brunch, Tatiana.
Right. Congratulations for liking the best meal of the day.
Okay. So that's pretty much the outside stuff. We, again, didn't do as much as we used to.
I wanted to do the FX
Michelle
thing.
Will do
I
more
never
next
got.
Year, is that's, what she said.
I'm not doing as many panels next year because it was ridiculous. I wanted to go the FX stuff, like they had the haunted house, all those kind of cool things.
It wasn't like there was no interactive part of that. It was like you would go to the hotel because standing in line that day, like I would walk through that thing all the time.
Right.
And so you would like go to the hotel and register, and then you would go to each thing. I think the only thing that was actually a thing was the Bastard Executioner, which was like a maze.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people told me that was kind of cool.
Yeah, but the rest of them, like, you just checked in. And at the end of it, you got a card for each show. And then combined, you got a free, like, 2-week trial of FX Now.
Oh,
like,
I do not need that.
That was what you got.
I don't need that, so I'm okay. I'm glad I didn't do that because I would have been irritated.
We did on Sunday outside get to experience the Bible Thumpers.
Oh my God.
Or specifically the violent guy with the giant paper mache Bible.
Oh my God.
And in the fatigues.
I felt like there were more this year, if that was possible.
My favorite are the counter protesters. I've seen some good counter protesting signs. Like, I had one guy that said, "Ned Stark died for your sins."
Right. Well, they had.
that's one of my favorites.
I didn't even know that there was a new Omen television series, but they had.
Oh, yeah.
They had those guys out for the Omen television series talking about Damien and, like, you know, Damien died for you, like, all this stuff with the giant signs, but they went right up next. Like, people were posting pictures of them right up next to the Bible Thumper guys.
That's funny. All right. So is that everything?
On Wednesday night is when, okay, I'll preface this by saying Friday was a really big day for a lot of the people in our group. And it was such a big day for Rory that he felt he needed to sleep out two nights for it. We'll get to Friday, but I just wanted to preface by saying Wednesday night, Rory slept out. Thursday night, Rory slept out for Friday. So Michelle slept out Wednesday night.
Why didn't you say
it like that? Oh, I know. I know how I'm saying it. Michelle slept out Wednesday night for Thursday panels.
Yes.
And she was the only one in Hall H with one of her other friends, yes. Randy. And tell us about Thursday panels.
Yeah. Well, the main reason that we chose to sleep out Wednesday night for the Thursday panels is because we wanted to see Doctor Who, which
is weird for a Thursday.
No, normally Doctor Who's on Sunday. Like, yeah. That's normally the thing. I'm not sure why they decided to do it on Thursday.
Because Capaldi was there probably, right?
Well, yeah, but Capaldi was there on Saturday for the Doctor Who meetup, so I don't know why they wouldn't shift his time so that he was there. But anyway, I questioning the Comic-Con scheduling gods this year. I questioned them a lot. But... anyway, so I was in Hall H for the first few panels until Doctor Who. I did not stay after that. But the coolest panel actually that day was the first panel in Hall H Thursday morning. And all it said in the booklet was Open Road TBD. And so we are like, what does Open Road even have going on right now? Like, everybody's like kind of like IMDBing it going, what on earth could this be? And nobody had any idea. Like, I was like, well, I guess this is the panel we're going to nap through. Then suddenly the Hall H goes dark. They start playing Smoke on the Water. And lo and behold, Bill Murray in costume from Rock the Casbah comes just through the audience, Robert Downey Jr. style, like dancing to Smoke on the Water. I got some good video on him. If you go to, we posted some things on the Pop Cult Binge website, so you could probably see it. I'll make sure that there's a link to the video as well, which is really cool. Just having him go through, and he was like, you know, giving everybody high fives. Like, he just was loving it. So this panel was for Rock the Casbah, which is a new movie written by, and I can't remember his name. He also wrote Scrooged. But it's someone who Bill Murray has collaborated with on a number of different projects. So their first collaboration was Scrooge. So it was just the writer,
Barry Levinson, and Mitch Glazer.
Mitch Glazer. So Mitch Glazer was there, and Barry Levinson is directing Rock the Casbah. So it's all the Scrooge guys back together again. So it'll be super fun. You know, it's going to be great. So Mitch Glazer was there and Bill Murray. And basically,
did they show any trailer? They
did show a trailer for it. Zooey Deschanel is in it. Bruce Willis is in it. It's got a huge cast, like every single person.
What? Bruce Willis?
Yeah, he's in it. And Bill Murray had great stories about Bruce Willis. But like the whole panel was basically Bill Murray just telling stories. And I was like, I could literally sit here all day just listening to Bill Murray tell stories because he's hilarious. But one funny thing because one of the audience Q&A, because, you know, they always do the irritating audience Q&A. And one person actually went up and asked, I heard Bruce Willis is kind of a dick to work with. How is he? You know, and Bill Murray's like, whoa, dude. Like, he's a friend of mine, and I've worked with him twice now because he also worked with him on Moonrise Kingdom. And he's like, and he kind of had a good explanation saying, like, he's a movie star. And sometimes maybe he's trying to get work done, and other people might understand that he's getting work done. But Bill Murray only had really nice things to say about him. He also, I guess, is working on another movie with Miley Cyrus. So even though he was not prompted at all, he just suddenly said, everybody, Miley Cyrus is talented. So I don't want anyone to fucking insult Miley Cyrus anymore.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
She doesn't deserve the bad rap.
He's not wrong.
I mean, it was just...
She's talented.
But he was just really fun panel. Bill Murray just telling jokes. And one girl did ask, I should preface this, dressed in a Ghostbusters outfit, asked, what was your favorite movie role? At which point Bill Murray's response was, well, one time I did save New York City. So there you go.
Was that the whole open road panel?
It was just, I mean, because, you know, Bill Murray, like, just let him talk for an hour. True. It's cool. But he actually even had a funny story about Bruce Willis. He found out Bruce Willis was a page when he was on Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
And so, like, that was just completely random. Like, Bruce Willis brought it up once over drinks one night, and he said that Bill and Gilda were the only ones nice to him.
Aww.
So there you go.
That's nice.
Yeah, that was the whole open road panel, but everyone was just blown away. He also exited through the audience again and got totally mobbed.
Oh,
like,
I bet.
But he had security, but he was just shaking hands, giving hugs. Like, it was amazing. And then, after that, we had the, Hunger Games panel, which was cool because it was hosted by Conan O'Brien.
Oh yeah.
And he,
why
I don't
was
know.
That? Oh.
He basically, they said since he was going to be down at Comic-Con doing shows, cause he was doing all of his shows all week at Comic-Con, did he want to host a panel? And he said, yes. And they said, which panel do you want to host? And he said, Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. But the cool thing about that is the cast. I mean, even if you're not a Hunger Games fan, the cast is super fun.
Yeah.
So just watching them interact and joke around with each other. They're like siblings. Like they're just, they pick on each other and they're very fun. So that was the whole panel, was them just making fun of Jen and Jen making fun of them. And it's just, so I, you know, it was an enjoyable panel. The funniest part for me was when they were all trying to do the Mockingjay whistle.
Oh,
and
wow.
Failing miserably. So apparently whenever Liam Hemsworth tries to do it, it sounds like the X-Files theme song. Are you trying to do it, Brandon?
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah, that's good. I can't
that's
whistle, so I'm
not
going to try.
Whistle.
Close, that was really close.
The last note was just a little...
But no,
they show any clips or anything?
They did show a couple things. They showed the full extended trailer, which is now available online.
I need to watch that.
They also showed, like, the first thing that happened for that panel was they filled all the aisleways with a drum corps dressed in, like, Capitol whites.
Oh.
And, like, playing drums. So that was kind of cool. I tried to get video of it, but none of it turned out. And then they showed, right after that, they showed a video that was, like, a District 13, almost, like, propaganda video to, like, unite with District 13 against the Capitol.
That's cool.
So, and I think that one's also available online. And then they showed the new extended trailer. You know, you get a good glimpse of everything that's happening. They did say it's going to be, if you've read the books, that they're pretty much sticking with the ending of the books. So that to not expect it to go very different from what the books did. And then after that panel was Doctor Who. And Doctor Who was great because this was Peter Capaldi's first Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
He seemed to love the crowds. He actually came out to the line the night before, and I wasn't in that part of the line because I was too far back, but he came out and gave, like, people waiting out hugs and stuff. He's such a fanboy. Like, I think he wanted to be at Comic-Con, so that's probably why they came this year. Because
he's never been in anything that got this much attention.
Right.
Yeah.
And this was, he didn't come last year. They didn't bring him last year. So this was like his first Comic-Con. He had a great time. He was just saying how much he loved the fans. Even Bill Murray was saying, like, because someone asked, like, what are your thoughts on Comic-Con? And Bill Murray was saying how he just loves that people are excited about something. He's like, so many people don't get excited about things. He's like, he's like, I don't care what you're excited about. Like, this is cool. Everybody's here because they're excited about something. And then he also mentioned that the coolest parties he's ever been to were nerd parties. So. But I feel
like Peter Capaldi.
No, that was Bill Murray.
Okay.
But then Peter Capaldi is also, I think, just a giant nerd. Yeah. So these are like his people. So he seemed to love being there.
Did they show anything?
They did show the new trailer for the new season, which I do think is online as well.
It is.
And the coolest part of the new trailer was we did see at the very end, Maisie Williams has a 2-episode arc this season, who's Arya in Game of Thrones, for people who don't know. And so we saw a little bit of her, although we still don't know who she is. There's so many theories floating around as to what she could be. But her line was, good to see you again, old man, or something, or long time no see, old man.
Oh, interesting.
So she clearly has some kind of relationship, prior relationship to the
doctor. And isn't that the deal with this season, is that it's mostly two-parters?
I've heard that. I've heard that it's almost all like two. But yeah, she's got a 2-parter episode. So that's what I've heard. But that was the part that everyone got the most excited about, was seeing Maisie.
And that doesn't start back until Christmas?
September.
It's coming back in the fall. They're actually going to do the full episode, all the full season before the Christmas special this year.
Oh,
so they're
okay.
not going to break it up.
That's new, right?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's going back to what they used to do. So it's good. But that was all the panels that I went to in Hall H. I didn't stay for Con Man because then I got out and got into line.
Yeah.
With I went
everybody to go. Everybody else got in line for Friday night Thursday night for Friday.
Yeah, I went to go help relieve Rory because he'd been there for a while, you know, with Ricardo and all them. So we went out to kind of relieve all the people waiting in line.
Yeah. No big news for lines. Okay. So we're going to go. Okay, so
it was hot.
Yeah,
it was hot. Well, they have the new next day line, which was completely different this year.
Oh,
what's
not
his name?
That night, but JJ came in the morning.
No, Davos came.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
Davos Seaworth. I forget his
Thursday
real name.
Night. Davos came
Liam
from
Cunningham
from Game of Thrones.
The guy with no fingers.
Yeah, I think his name is Liam Cunningham.
Stannis's hand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is ironic because he has no fingers.
Not just one of his hands.
Right. Well, you know,
and you guys
it's
got
hand,
were
not hands.
You guys were really were. Really, really, oh man, really close to the
oh, yeah,
front
we
of
were,
the...
We were in shoot one.
We were in shoot one. We had great seats. We weren't invited in. We weren't the first 50 because the first 50 in line were invited in by J.J. Abrams for donuts and coffee and got to see the soundtrack. Or the sound
crazy.
Check.
Only
we didn't get to do
50.
That. But J.J. did bring his...
Here's the thing. When I lined up, I was definitely in the top 50.
I know, right?
But so many people were saving spots.
They did send out coffee. His minions came out and brought us coffee. So that was our consolation prize.
Minions were there?
Minions. So it started with the animation show of shows, which I don't know if there was anything to really talk about.
The one that everybody really liked is Feast, which I think a lot of people have seen.
And everybody's seen it already.
Yeah. Oh, the dog one?
Yeah, the dog one.
Yeah,
everybody
that
loves
cute.
That one.
Yeah, I like that
the
one.
The rest of
what
them are kind of
before?
Weird.
What movie was that before?
I can't remember.
I can't. It was some before some Pixar
that
movie
that was animated this year.
Oh, maybe it's Big Hero 6.
I think
oh,
it,
yeah,
was
it was
Big Hero
6.
Okay. Yeah,
I think
it
that
was.
Makes it was
or
it's
Inside
cute.
Out.
It's very cute.
It's before one of those.
No, that's Lava.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's the one everyone hates.
What? I love that one.
I totally did not get it. I Lava You. I thought they were just saying love really weird.
Anyways, so after that The Walking Dead.
Okay, yeah. Chris, hosted by Chris Hardwick, naturally, because it had to be.
Thank God.
Yeah, of course. Any good news or people showing up? Did they show any?
They did not show much on The Walking Dead.
There were no
newcomers?
They showed
a gag reel.
Yeah. Any newcomers?
No new cast announcements, although...
No, they showed some people in the trailer.
No, just yeah, but not on stage.
But not on stage.
My Morgan came. This is his first Comic-Con.
Oh,
Lenny... Can't think of his last name.
The guy
now,
from like one of the first episodes.
Yeah. From the first season.
In the trailer, which is available online, you will see he's featured prominently.
Oh, yeah. I
so
did watch that.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be, I think, a big part of the next season because he is very featured.
Yeah.
And this was his
good
first
job
Comic-Con.
Ramping it up with a trailer every season.
Yeah. I don't have they. I guess they have film stuff, but they didn't show much.
Because
they have.
Say.
They didn't. Yeah. They have filmed, but they haven't really. They didn't show that much new stuff.
That's a fun cast, too.
Yeah.
They
all
get along really
they're
well.
All friends, and they all kind of joke. Carol, or I can't think of her real name. I'm terrible
Carol.
Today. Carol came out with cookies, you know, like, hey, aww. I bake cookies.
Melissa McBride.
Thank you. Melissa McBride came out.
Oh,
with
the
cookies.
Big news was Daryl plays Candy Crush.
Oh yeah, Daryl.
That was the big news of Walking Dead.
And his favorite emoji
when the press is stopped.
It was slow.
Right. His favorite emoji is the red balloon that we also found out.
There we
go.
And
he will friend.
It was a riveting panel.
He will friend anyone to play Candy Crush with because he needs glass. So that's out there. If you want to friend Daryl on on Candy Crush, you can.
Interesting.
So there you go.
After that, if there's nothing, was Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah. If you didn't have enough Walking Dead, right up next.
Fear the Walking Dead. Okay. So is that starting before the Walking Dead? Okay.
Was Kim Dickens there? That's all I want to know.
So it's starting. They said it starts in between the beginning of everything and Rick waking up from his coma.
Yeah,
while Rick's still in a coma.
Oh, okay.
The entire show
the
is taking place.
I meant, like, what
and
day
no,
does it
they
start?
Won't be meeting.
I meant, what day does it start, Rory? Geez.
Yeah, I believe
August 23rd.
Yes, August 23rd.
Boom.
So it's going to be aired, I believe. They're doing
the whole thing.
I think like a half season.
Oh.
Before Walking Dead comes
starts.
Out.
Oh,
It was what it said. I was trying to figure out the amount of episodes.
So they won't, like, play the
I
same
I think it's
night.
Six episodes.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's going to be right now. It's only they may have only filmed a few episodes.
Oh, okay.
And then they're going to see how it plays, whether or not they're going to complete this by through the rest of the season. But
I thought they'd only filmed like one episode because during the Q&As, no one had an answer to their question.
They didn't want to reveal anything.
Yeah, they couldn't say much because they
didn't know what they could say.
They didn't want to say much.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They like no spoilers. But this one, the way that it's different than The Walking Dead is that it's really based on this family and this very dysfunctional family. So it's been described as parenthood with zombies.
Interesting.
So it's a family drama, but it's taking place at such an early point. So it's starting with like the beginning of the epidemic, like I said, like he was saying, all the way going through before Rick even gets out of his coma. So that first like 4 or 5 weeks of the epidemic that they don't know what it is.
Because in The Walking Dead, it just started with it was already gone
it was
to
already
shit.
There.
Yeah,
and
Rick
everybody
was
knew
the only one not going, yeah,
right.
Not on board.
So
he
this
like,
is
them,
so this is like a usual zombie.
Just woke up.
You know, it skipped the part of the zombie movies you get really frustrated with.
Yeah,
right. And so this one's
like,
gonna make you, drag you through that.
Yeah,
just, that nobody knows what's happening. Like, oh, is it the flu? Is it, you know, you're trying to cure people?
Say zombie. Say it, zombie. Say it.
I would love if they called them zombies. Like, if Walker was a Georgia thing. Because
oh,
I feel like
interesting.
If they call
because
them
it is Los
in different
Angeles.
Regions.
Because they're dumb and they haven't seen
that's
any of
interesting. Right.
Well, this one does take place in Los Angeles and it's a mixed family.
And
it's
there's
a
Hispanic barber.
Yes.
Oh
yeah. That's right.
Just like Ricardo.
They have a family that's a wife and a husband, but then he's got a previous wife and she has, you know, so there's stepkids and
so
there's
LA.
A lot of, right. Yeah. There's a lot of half siblings and step siblings and all that kind of stuff in here. So it's they called it Parenthood with Zombies. So it's going to be more of a family drama.
I do love Cliff Curtis though.
And
he's
I
great.
Thought the trailer
really
looked good. Yeah.
No, the trailer looked all right. I mean, I'll definitely check it out.
I like the trailer. I thought it was good.
I'll definitely check it out, yeah.
And I love Kim Dickens. She's
but
great.
I'm not optimistic.
Yeah. Oh, and the girl from Orange is the New Black, isn't it? So, Elizabeth Rodriguez.
Oh,
and she's great, too. So, she plays, like, the ex-wife.
Oh, okay.
To the person that Kim Dickens is married to.
It was just another case. They opened up a Q&A, and it's just like, nobody's seen the show.
I know.
So
what do we
the
ask?
The questions they're going to ask are the ones you don't want them to ask. And so yeah. Why did you have a Q&A?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's irritating. And the Q&As a lot of times are irritating anyways. Okay, so moving on.
Game of Thrones is next. Everyone here watches Game of Thrones. We all like it.
Yeah.
But again, they couldn't say anything.
They can't say anything.
They literally couldn't say anything.
Sometimes they usually show.
Well, they haven't shown
like,
anything. They don't have a script.
They haven't shot anything. Nobody
sometimes
in the cast
knows.
The cast said
they don't
even
have like the
yet.
New newcomers yet.
They didn't show any newcomers.
This
year.
They didn't show a gag reel. Like, come on.
This year, what they showed was the.
Was the free book we gave you not enough?
Right. They had auditions. They had people's auditions, which was kind of fun. You know, you could see the You Know Nothing Jon Snow in the audition tape and all that. And they were all just. So that was kind of a fun thing. But overall.
Kit wasn't there.
A lot of the cast wasn't. I mean, Kit wasn't there, but, you know, that's.
We don't know what that means.
But also, like, Daenerys, Cersei, Jaime Lannister.
George wasn't there.
They weren't there. None of them were there. They had some of the... it's such a big cast now.
Are
I guess
they
you
filming right
everyone.
Now?
No, they're starting soon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They should have taken, like, one of the 100 Georges that were there and just put him on the panel.
Yeah. A lot of people were dressed as George.
They should have found the best one and just, like... put him there.
Yeah.
It's almost like they felt like, oh, we gotta show up, but they didn't.
That's exactly what it is.
But
yeah.
And they
don't
have anything.
They don't have anything to say. The whole cast, a lot of the cast was saying, we don't know. Like, it's not even that we can't tell you. It's that we haven't been told
yet.
Every question.
It's like the Super Bowl. It's like, well, I guess we have to have a commercial, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny because this time it's like the first time that even you guys almost don't know what's coming because they are going off the books.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's almost
there's still a good chunk they left out though. I hate that people.
No,
keep
I know,
saying that.
I know, but like at some point, like in previous years, they could be like, "Well, I've read the books, and so I kind of know what's going to happen to my character." But even this time, they almost didn't know what was going to happen to their character, anyways, because it wasn't
like
written by anybody.
Like Bran will be back.
Yeah,
sure.
Bran's
farther in the book.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I'm like, everybody keeps saying we're caught up, but we're not.
Well, we're caught up on some storylines. Some storylines have gone past the books, and some storylines haven't gotten to the point in the book.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see for the next season.
I don't know why I care. I haven't read the books.
But
I won't.
This panel really had nothing to say.
It shouldn't have been there.
It's just
shouldn't have been in Hall H. Is what?
Yeah, they shouldn't have been in Hall H.
No.
They could have shown up and just done something else.
No, because But if Game of Thrones hadn't been there, what we'd be talking about is why wasn't Game of Thrones there?
But they did give the best swag bag. They always do.
They could have been T-shirt, involved, book. 20, I feel like it would have been just as much.
Well, the only reason that it was full was because of what was coming later in the day.
You know what should have been in Hall H?
If it was HBO, there should
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. Those should have been in Hall H.
I agree. I would have. I was so mad I had to miss those because of Star Wars.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay.
So then after Game of Thrones, we had the
Brave New Warriors. Yeah. You guys want to talk about that?
Nah.
It was just a bunch of guys that were like,
yeah. It would have been interesting if you were there, but
the funniest thing was that they had the kid from Jordan from Orphan Black with this whole panel of these big, huge, like these massive, warrior like action, men. Like warrior looking men. And then Jordan, who's like the skinny little guy who plays aww. Like this, like little British guy on Orphan Black. Like, and he was like, this is really awkward. The whole aww. Time. He was just like, why
they
am I here?
Squish me.
I know. But there really wasn't. I mean, like that panel, it did get dark at one point when they started talking about like sexual
Hollywood boy molestation.
Yeah. Molestation. Yeah. Hollywood. Oh, and we were all like, whoa, this just got really awkward really fast. I was like, okay.
Was it the guy who's in? It was the guy who's in Warcraft, right? Who was like, yeah, it was Proposition when I was like 20.
Yeah,
oh my God. And so all of this led up to the big thing for you guys,
and this is the whole reason we were there all day Friday.
Yeah. Who wants to?
And the whole
talk
reason
Jenny
and I were outside all day on Friday.
Yeah. Well, they also prefaced it with there wouldn't be footage.
Yes.
And they held true to that.
What we're talking about is Star Wars, of course, the Star Wars Lucasfilm panel. And they did say they told. Well, there was. I mean, there was stuff we hadn't seen before in the thing that they.
But it
showed.
it was footage of them taking footage.
It was behind the scenes.
Yeah it was behind.
Which
the scenes.
Which by now everyone
that
listening
would be
has
the
seen.
Easier way to say that.
Yeah. They're
footage of the footage,
which is everyone should know available on the YouTube.
Oh yeah,
so
they're all on there.
They're all. It is out there. It is a really good clip
it's
to see.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I got a little teary eyed. I love the fact that Simon Pegg has even if he is completely covered up, but he's in there and he's.
Yeah.
You know, like that, just as soon as you see Simon Pegg, you're like, oh my God, Simon Pegg, that's like the dream of his life.
And it was a
I
great, yeah, I know. It was a great group of people on stage.
Oh yeah. It was, I really enjoyed that panel. Now it started with just the producers and directors. So you had JJ, Kathleen Kennedy, and Lawrence Kasdan. Lawrence Kasdan, of course, being the writer. You know, he also wrote a little movie called The Empire Strikes Back.
And Grand Canyon.
Whoa.
And Mumford.
Hello.
Mumford's really good. So is Grand Canyon.
I believe you. I've never seen either. But anyway, so it started off with just them. But one of the things, that JJ really emphasized was the fact that for him, being a Star Wars fan, it was very important that they use practical effects. They use as much practical sets as possible and practical puppets and things where it's actually you could touch and feel as opposed to CG. And so they did bring out one of the puppets on stage, which was Baba Joe, which was really cool. I thought that was a highlight of the panel.
It was really neat to see
that. And they walked across the stage.
And like almost everything on it could move, like its face, like it just...
As an outsider, like I wasn't at the panel so far, all of the marketing they've done at like Celebration, this is basically could summed up as we made stuff.
Oh yeah. Like, no, they're jamming it down your throat.
People were on sets in this one.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
We went places and we built things.
Wasn't visual.
Yeah.
It's not a green screen.
Yeah. It wasn't a 260-degree green screen.
Although David Boyega.
John Boyega.
John Boyega. Sorry. I don't know where I got David from. Who of course wears, as we've seen in the trailer, a stormtrooper outfit, was like, yeah, we were in the desert and I got to wear a stormtrooper outfit. So, you know, thanks for not being on green screen.
Yeah.
Like, he's just pouring sweat.
To your point, Brandon, like Chris started off with a couple questions and he,
and by Chris, he means Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick. That's our
we
buddy.
We all call him Chris.
Yeah.
When you're
your pal Chris.
Long, he's Chris. he started off with some questions and they all kind of gave the practical effects and puppet answer. And then they showed like a little video before the behind the scenes video. And it was like a commercial for we have sets, we have puppets, we have practical effects.
Right.
And so it was like, yeah, we got it. Everybody in this room already knew that.
I know, but it's still like you're talking about the character that they brought out on stage. Like it's still kind of magic. Like I was watching
really that part was cool.
That
but
was
like,
really cool.
It was like, the first like 10 minutes was like a commercial.
The, sure. Then we had the actors. They brought out the light side first.
All of it was a commercial,
though. Right? Well, that's true. So he brought out the light side first. The new three. That was John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, and Oscar Nunez.
Oscar Isaac.
I am on top of things right
he's
now.
Great. I love him. I love him so yeah, much. He's really good. He's like become really big all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
And then after they brought them out, they showed pictures of them in their costumes and talked a little bit about their characters. And then they brought out the dark side. So, you had, that was, Adam Driver, Domhnall
Gleeson. I can't say it. Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
If Ricardo were here, you would say Donald.
Donald. It's Dom. I'm like, you're too many consonants in your name. It's very Welsh. And then
I love him, though.
I know. And Gwendolyn Christie came out. And they showed their characters and the character names. I don't know. Did we know the character names for those before? I guess we did.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Except for Domhnall Gleeson's.
Okay.
That wasn't the General Nux. No, that was
new. Zylo Ren.
And Captain Phasma. Yeah. Which is, it's a great name.
Yeah.
It's so great. Yeah. It's right, I know, but it's right on the border of like super camp and like serious. Like,
right.
It's great.
That's, yeah.
But then.
Oh, the Starkiller base. That's the other thing.
Oh, right.
That was kind of a spoiler
that Dom was not supposed to say.
Oh,
it's a
really?
Spoiler as in, like, here's a location in the movie.
Well, yeah. So Dom, like, says it, and JJ was like, oh, okay. Well, that was a spoiler we weren't planning on. And then he explained where it came from, and that being Luke's original last name.
That's pretty cool, though. I like
that's
that
also
that.
Super pulpy. And,
right. Yeah. It was very, but
not
it was
too spoilery.
It was not terrible, but you could see like JJ panicked and
he
was like,
wanted
oh,
to be,
that
yeah.
wasn't a, th- okay.
He wanted that to be
so
surprised.
That was a thing.
for JJ being there is a spoiler. So.
Right. I know. God.
They could say nothing. Just having people in public is a spoiler for JJ Abrams.
And then they brought out who they call the legacy players. First, Carrie Fisher came out and Mark Hamill. And then here was the tricky thing that they did. They didn't have another microphone out. And so we're all standing there going, okay, I guess Harrison's not coming because there wasn't another microphone.
Oh,
so you
funny.
Thought, where is he going to? And then they were like, oh, do you guys want to see Han Solo? And then he came out and he had like, they had
to share a microphone.
I think the microphone was on the chair or something.
Oh.
And he moved it up. But like, they specifically like hit it to
That's
like
funny.
Make
yeah.
people
they
not.
Wanted it to be a surprise.
It was like a really big surprise that he was there. And he got a standing ovation, of
not
course.
Surprised.
but apparently he was like in a really good mood.
He was not usual grumpy old man Harrison.
Yeah,
he was like super smiling and giving people kisses and like
I
hugs and
that was hands down my favorite part of the panel is because Harrison Ford totally turned me because I knew he was grumpy. I knew he wasn't like stoked to be like in action again. But there was a point where he said he read the script and he knew he had to come back and do it.
Yeah.
And like you could, That's like good. It looked sincere.
That means something, yeah.
And like since I heard they were all coming back, I was like, man, I hope they kill him off because he's just going to be crotchety the whole time.
That was his whole deal.
And
it was
so,
like, if I come back, you got to kill me.
And so I personally, speculatively, I think he read how they're going to kill him off. I think he read it and he was like, that's great.
And that's
cool.
what made him come back.
And that made him come back.
Interesting.
Because it's not fair to him to have to do all this stuff as Han Solo anymore.
Right.
Know?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in the trailer, which you can see online, you can even see Daisy piloting alongside Han Solo and things like that. So it's going to be I'm super excited
They're
for the
training
movie.
Her
so
kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm just super duper excited.
Isn't there
for
a
it.
Han Solo movie coming though? Is
yes.
it going to be like
but
younger?
Young,
yeah, it's
young
be,
Han
okay.
Solo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Chris Miller and Phil Lord.
Right. Yeah.
Do
yeah.
they have a Han Solo yet? Do you know?
No.
No.
Okay.
And then, of course, after this panel, this was the kind of cool thing that they did is that they invited the entirety of Hall H to a free concert at the Pops right on the marina, which is an outdoor concert venue. And they played music from the original six.
Was it the San Diego Philharmonic?
Yeah, it was the San Diego Symphony.
Oh,
it might have been the San Diego Symphony.
Okay.
I can't remember.
And they played music from the movies?
Yes. But I was kind of
hoping. Only the original movies.
Yeah, I was really hoping that we'd get a little taste of the new movie, but they didn't play anything. And then at the very end, like the finale was they did the theme song and had fireworks going off. I mean, hey, it's Disney, so you have to have fireworks.
So many fireworks. We could even see it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So many fireworks.
Yeah. That was crazy.
I know. Randy, I was standing out. there with my friend Randy, and she was just like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen so many amazing fireworks like this since the last time I was at Disney. And I was like, Randy, it is Disney.
Right? Yeah.
This is Disney, guys.
Did you say we got lightsabers?
Oh yeah, and they gave us free lightsabers.
That light up and make noise.
And they actually make noise like when you swing like it, like it does the noise.
And when you hit the other one.
Right? It makes the noise like
and when you press the button, they light up.
What?
And like they extend.
Right.
No, like they, a light like
they
crazy.
Fit it in the plastic, so
it's the same as all of them.
But no, Brendan, this one has a sticker on it.
It has a sticker that says
1970. Oh, so resell value.
Boom.
Yeah, we looked it up.
That sticker on it.
Ricardo and I looked it up on eBay, and there the lightsaber with your little tag that says was going for $50.
Oh,
that's it.
What?
That's still,
you got it for free.
Good, yeah.
You
not
got it for
sell.
Free.
I bet they're just going to go down after that.
I know, right. So that was, and I felt really bad because Kevin Smith had a panel right after Star Wars.
Don't feel bad.
At Hall H. And they, I
more feel bad for Kevin Smith that he couldn't go to
I know.
The
like,
concert.
Honestly, like Kevin Smith, like he's such a Star Wars fan. I mean, he cried when he walked on the Millennium Falcon. And he was like, he talked about how he almost considered canceling his panel just so he could go to the concert.
Yeah. None of you guys went to that one, though. We've been to Kevin Smith in the past. Once you do Kevin Smith once, you don't have to do Kevin Smith again.
Well, he was in the hall. He was in the hall. He could have gotten a pass because he was actually in Hall H for the Star Wars panel.
You're right.
But he did. Yeah. So you kind of feel bad. He had an empty house after that. Okay. So then you guys had Saturday.
Yeah. So we slept out Saturday and everybody else joined us in the morning. Brandon and I is the ones that are the
because we were the ones who opted out of Friday. We were there all day Friday in line and then stayed the night that night for Saturday to hold everyone's spot in line.
We were one of the first people. We were probably, you guys said we were close to the same spot that you guys were the night before.
Yeah, I was the first
one. And like the night before wait a minute, who came out? I guess Davos came out. Zack Snyder came out in the middle of the night, about 12:30
or
1.
Tell us about that? Because we didn't actually see how he got there.
So, Ricardo and I were in line, like, kind of just chilling, waiting to be relieved. And, like, sirens were going off. And we decided to be good human beings and not go watch the sirens. Like, we assumed it was, like, an ambulance or something going to help somebody that had passed out. And so, apparently, what was happening was the Batmobile was driving on the street and the cops were chasing it.
And then
the Batmobile parked next to us at Hall H. And then at that point, everybody swarmed the Batmobile and they were throwing
freaked
out.
The Zach, fuck
Zack
out.
Snyder actually got out of the Batmobile and started throwing t-shirts out.
Yeah, they were throwing t-shirts. And
then he just like,
and we were all, like, everybody was getting in the road. And there was still, traffic.
Crazy.
It was nuts.
But the Batmobile stayed there for a while.
We
went to go see it. It looked pretty cool. It looked pretty badass. Did you guys get pictures?
We got some pictures. I wish I got a picture of the driver who looked so tired.
Yeah, he was like, why am I so tired?
Leaning his arm up against like the side with his hand pressed against his forehead.
Because it was like midnight or something.
No, at that point it was like 12. It was like 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was close to 1.
Yeah. So it was a late night. Anyway, so that happened for us. And we got into the panel fine, and we got really great seats. The first panel of the day was Warner Brothers, which is always crazy exciting because they literally open up the entire walls beside us. So you don't only have just the huge screen in front of you. You have seriously like 4 screens worth on each side of you and 1 screen in the middle.
Yeah, it's like 3/4.
Yeah.
It's kind so of big. Like not functional.
Yeah.
Because you can't like...
You can't watch it.
You can't watch
it.
So
it's
like,
funny
like,
because... We have never been that close before for this one. We're usually in the back, and it doesn't matter as much in the back.
Oh, that's true, I guess. Yeah, because we're...
That's funny, because I didn't even notice that in the past.
Yeah, because we were positioned, like, right by, like, the front third of the side screens.
So we had to, like, look behind us to see the other screens.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird. But luckily, there's never really anything too important on those. It's just, like, fun effects.
No, during a thing later, we'll talk about, there actually was different footage on the side screens than there was on the front.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
And it was... All right. Complicated to like keep looking to the left and then the front and then the left.
All right. So Warner Brothers started with a couple slow things. Not bad things, just they didn't want to you know, shoot their load early. So they did.
Okay.
You know.
I actually thought, I think Man from U.N.C.L.E. looks fun.
It like, does. Yeah, no, I think, yeah.
And I love Henry Cavill's voice. Like, his accent for some reason. Yeah. No. Like, I love how he sounds
so
in that movie.
Posh.
Like, I showed it. I showed it to Kelly, my wife, and she was like, he looks like a cartoon.
I know.
Like, he's too perfect.
Like, he's way too perfect.
It, I know. Like, burned your eyeball.
He literally is Superman, guys.
Yeah. he really is. In the movie, he looks like Superman. Yeah. I feel like he even has the curl. In the movie,
Armie Hammer has this weird Russian accent, which it sounded fine, but it was the first time he ever did it. He said so it was very interesting. And then Hugh Grant,
who sounds exactly like John Hamm doing a Russian accent.
Oh, okay, Armie Hammer.
Yeah,
yeah, I know, right? But yeah, it looks fun. Go see the trailer; they put it out already.
Yeah, which is it's 5 minutes. It feels like. At least 2/3 of the movie.
I know.
That you're seeing.
Like, what could, what else could
and I still can't quite figure out if it like might be good or not.
I know,
but like,
but I'll see it. It's like an old timey spy movie.
It looks fun. It's Guy Ritchie. It'll have energy and
good
it
fight
looks fun.
Scenes. Yeah, it'll be good.
It's got Hugh Grant. That's all I need.
I know, right? The second one was also something small, and I can't remember now.
Was it?
Yeah.
WB.
Yeah.
They didn't go right into Batman vs. Superman? Did
no,
I totally
there was,
forget
You guys have already forgotten
yes.
something.
I have already forgotten.
I know. That's what I'm saying. There was like two small things. I can't remember. It obviously, it was fine, but it obviously wasn't that
Holy
important.
Holy shit, that's crazy. There's a whole other thing for WB?
Yeah. So then after that.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I thought they went from that right into Batman.
They definitely did do something. I just can't remember what it was.
Oh, Pan.
Oh, Pan.
Yes.
Oh, I want to see Pan.
Actually, I do too. Oh. It does look cute. Ugh. It looks
that's
interesting.
That's why you forgot.
But I also, I love Peter Pan. I've always loved
Peter Pan. I know. That's
how
I feel. And it's interesting because it's a whole different like look on it, which I think is great. It's like the origin story of Peter Pan, which is you never see. I like that idea.
Do we need it?
Do we need anything, Brandon? Come
I
on.
Know. It just looks fun.
Do we need it?
The fun is exactly what it doesn't look like.
No, I think it looks interesting.
I think it looks
it doesn't look fun at all.
Hugh Jackman looks fun.
I like Hugh Jackman.
He looks like
everything.
Oh, yeah.
He looks because he looks like a guy who like was going for it. But everything else about it, we talked about it, the like chosen one shit, like the prophecy stuff where like it was written long ago that a young man would come and usurp me. Like, all that stuff is so boring to me because it's already written. Like, then what is the conflict if the kid is already going to be a thing? And we already know what the end result is, that he is the thing.
Yeah, but take that out, and it looks like a fun movie.
Well, take that out. There is no movie.
What are you talking about? It's the same
all
movie.
All right, let's move on.
Anyway, no, but the Hugh Jackman, the reason I'm excited for Hugh Jackman is because like no one on the panel knew how to like sell. It was just so apparent at how good Hugh Jackman is.
He's just good with people.
He comes out and he is selling it.
Yeah.
Oh, like, man, he took over that
stage. He took over the whole thing and just sold. Like he went through a whole like paragraph of the movie that the director couldn't muster like a third of. Like, and he just sold it. Like, so Hugh Jackman made me far more interested than any footage or anything else they showed.
Levi Miller is playing Peter Pan, and he's a newcomer. He's been on TV stuff, but this is his first big movie role.
And it is Joe Wright.
He looked really – he looked good in the movie. I think that's going to be exciting to see. I love Garrett Hedlund. I think he's fantastic.
Oh,
I loved him in Tron.
Oh, yeah, I
loved
him too, yeah.
He's playing Captain Hook, so that'll be interesting because Captain Hook and Peter Pan are on the same side.
Yeah, they seem
so
to
we'll
be
see.
Friends in the trailer.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So and so we'll – apparently this is what's going to – we're going to see how their friendship – goes away, how they become enemies, and
like
so that'll
Obi
be interesting.
And Anakin.
After that,
that was great.
After that, they showed us some Suicide Squad footage. I think that was next.
No,
which
I
is
Batman was first.
No, Suicide Squad was first.
Oh, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
because it was so short. So it was exciting. Not, they
released the whole thing afterwards.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a good trailer. You should go watch it.
Yeah, it's available.
It was
on
the
YouTube.
First time that we could see Harley Quinn in action.
Which
what's
is
her face?
The most exciting
she looks
part.
Great.
Margot
she looks
Robbie.
So great. The voice sounds good. She was doing the acrobatics part. It looked really good.
Yeah, I liked. I liked Jared Leto in it. Looks really interesting. And I think Will Smith in the trailer. I mean, Deadshot just seems to be very. Like, I guess the one that you're going to feel the most for. Like, he seems the most sympathetic in the trailer.
It seemed like Will Smith only signed on because they're like, well, we'll give him a family.
Well, Deadshot
so
has
that
a family.
Like,
I mean, that's Deadshot's backstory.
I know, but it's like, it's weird within the Suicide Squad because, like, Rick Flagg is the leader of them. Like, yeah. It's just, it felt, also, this is stuff that they're showing because they're not even done shooting the movie.
Right, yeah.
Like, so it was all kind of weird and not, you don't understand it. But it's like, it's Will Smith, but like Joel Kinnaman is like the leader of the thing, who is so below Will Smith as far as like guys you want to watch on screen.
Right.
And granted, listen, I don't know anything about the movie. We saw 3 minutes of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
all out of context.
It looks like in the trailer, as far as I could tell, like Deadshot's backstory is going to be the same.
Sure.
I mean, like at least the backstory from what I understand.
Yeah.
I will
say he has a family. He lost the family. That's what caused him to go insane.
I actually don't know anything about Suicide Squad at all. I didn't know anything going into it. And the trailer actually, that what we saw, just that little clip, actually really helped explain a lot to me. And
right.
I really liked that. And I'm really excited to learn more about how this plays out because it's a whole, and I'm assuming most of the people listening know, but it's a whole, these are all bad guys and the government wants to hire them to fight other bad guys. And so if someone dies, then they can just blame them and it's not a big deal and da da da, all this stuff. So it's kind of interesting.
I know in the, and I don't know if they're keeping with this canon, but the canon was, is that they have basically like a bomb in their head so that if they,
they have
like a bomb like implanted in there so that if they go off script or they go and do try to get away or whatever, they can actually kill them. Hence why they're called Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know
if they're going to keep up with that canon.
I liked how it kind of showed how they're trying to extend the DC world in movies.
Well, and I like Viola Davis looked amazing in the trailer.
Yeah, she looked great, but it's...
I love her as Amanda Waller.
I'm not the biggest fan of like how it seems now they're in competition to be the grittiest, like grimiest thing that they can be. Like that I'm not the biggest fan of, but... But
well,
I have that issue with
Superman more than I have with Suicide Squad.
Well,
Suicide Squad makes sense to be gritty, but like with Superman, I'm like, that's when I start getting about it being so freaking gritty.
Well, that's my point, is that Man of Steel started and Superman should be a little more optimistic and brighter, but there's no sense of like tone there as far as the grim and gritty.
I don't disagree with you on
that. But like the Leto thing, like I feel like maybe I'm the only one, but I feel like it was exactly what I would have expected from like Jared Leto as the Joker.
Like I was surprised.
It was the kind of like
I was happy with
creepy
it.
Clown, like has a high pitched voice.
I thought it was like, different than the usual Jokers, and so that's why I liked it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, it was like it just seemed kind of
like DC though.
I know, Rory. Well, I mean, like I don't know if you can talk about
this. But that's why I'm just surprised because it seems to me like a lot of
why not if
a lot of other Jokers don't.
Aren't I an audience member they'd want a game?
What didn't you like about the new Joker?
I didn't like Will Smith. He stuck out like a sore thumb, and then I didn't like Leto. I liked that it's different, but that's not the different.
I like Margot Robbie is far more interesting to me than Leto as Joker.
Oh no, sure. I agree, but I think Harley Quinn's an interesting character just as is. So I mean, that's clearly like half the people at Comic-Con dress up as Harley Quinn. So.
It's going to be weird with Joel Kinnaman and who plays Captain Boomerang? The guy who's in Terminator Genesis.
Jai Courtney. Is it Jay?
I think it's Jai. It's J-A-I.
Yeah, I think it's Jai.
Two people that Hollywood really wants you to love, but just you don't.
Yeah.
Like being semi-leads in a thing.
I'm also a little nervous that this is a huge cast, a lot of characters. Like, how much of the movie are they going to take up, you know?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's true.
But again, 3 minutes.
Okay,
so that wasn't very long. There was obviously no Q&A. Nobody even said anything. They brought him up on stage. Will Smith grabbed the microphone from Zack Snyder David Ayer, just to say, we'll come back next year. That's like all he said. And it was really weird that he even said anything. But
well, it's going to be out before then, isn't it?
No, August 2016.
Oh, August?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I didn't realize that.
So after that, they brought out our beloved Superman and Batman with some Zack Snyder.
Oh, you mean that,
wait, was Gal Gadot there too?
Oh, yeah.
Gal Gadot was there.
Oh, you mean that giant boulder sitting next to Henry Cavill?
I know. God, he's like
he is
huge.
Stacked.
Yeah, he's huge.
Which is like, you know, that's fine. Batman should be look a little stronger than Superman. But like he is just, I'm not used to seeing Ben Affleck like that.
I know. Yeah.
Holy shit.
I was really excited about the Wonder Woman stuff that they showed.
Yeah.
That's the most exciting part for me.
That was the best part of the trailer was seeing those two shots of Wonder Woman doing the cuffs and the explosion. And then,
the
blowback.
Worst part of it was Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
God. It's so awkward.
I think it's terrible in the trailer. Yeah. But
I maybe it's just because they didn't show good clips. Maybe it'll be better in the movie, but it's just like weird parts that they showed.
I think he's just doing a thing that I think works better in the context of a whole movie.
Yeah, maybe. Look good in a trailer. But I like at least I hadn't really known the storyline that they were going to go with on how they were going to go against each other. And so we got to see that in the trailer. And that was actually really interesting. It's very believable and it works really well. I like that it's like they're making Superman out to be almost like a god, and he destroys something of Batman's or Bruce Wayne. And so Bruce Wayne decides that he's going to go kind of almost a little evil-ish and go after Superman.
Well, not really. I mean,
that's what Alfred's making it seem like. He's going evil.
Well, the stuff in the trailer that sold me, for better or less, was the stuff with Bruce Wayne on the ground during the final fight in Man of Steel. Like, that stuff sells really well. Like, that is an awesome... That part was amazing. The part that... I don't know, like... Man of Steel also had amazing trailers.
Yeah.
And promised a lot that it didn't have. That's true. Because it's a trailer. It's a commercial for a thing.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. But, and as far as I know, like, what you're seeing in the trailer is an incredibly small part of the movie.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I'll see it.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're all going to see it. Like, all of us sitting here, like, I'll even if we're all going to see it.
We could end this podcast now saying, like, complain. Yeah, I'll see it.
I didn't see the last Superman movie.
You didn't? You didn't go see Man of Steel?
No, I never ended up seeing it.
No, it's fine.
Oh. I'll see it without him. Anyway, so that was pretty much the end of Warner Brothers. We all kind of were expecting that, so it was fun and exciting. The next one was Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes!
I've read the book,
which I enjoyed.
I enjoyed the book.
It was such an interesting panel. It was just like, why are you here?
It was the one, it was the first, so like I should preface all of this by saying this is my first time going to this thing.
Yeah.
So this one was my first time seeing what it really feels like when, how many people, 6,500 people are just not into at all what you're doing.
Seriously.
Like, I've been to plenty of shows where people are not doing well, but not with 6,500 people not giving a shit at all about what you have to say.
I will say it looks okay. It looks like it's going to work. It looks kind of funny, which I don't know if the book is funny, but it is.
The book's very funny. It's kind of funny. And it's enjoyable. The thing is he wrote then a bunch of other books like similar.
Yeah.
And then that was like, it was funny the first time you did it. And now it's like, I don't even care. Yeah. But yeah, I mean like, oh, this is clever. But then like by the fifth, you're like not clever anymore. Not a thing.
He seems so tired. Seth Graham Smith.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He seems so tired.
Matt Smith was there though.
Yeah. Cause he's in it. Do you know who he's playing?
Mr. Collins.
Oh, okay.
He
looked like the best part.
He is the best part.
Well, yeah. Matt Smith.
And CRC is in it too. She wasn't there, but
I was
gonna
say,
it.
Was she there and not at the
game?
Because I would be like, what?
All the rest of the people I didn't really know. They were all kind of newcomers. I don't know if you know them from any British TV.
The problem with this movie is it's been in the works for so long.
Yeah, they changed the cast.
They've
like
gone through
times.
So much
like
cast.
Six or seven
it's been ridiculous. I just
a
feel,
lot of people
I'm so
said
suspicious
maybe we
of
shouldn't.
It. I know. Right. I feel really suspicious of it.
It's very interesting.
And like I said, I did enjoy the book. Like I read the book and thought this was fun. I love Pride and Prejudice and this is like a funny parody. Yes. But I don't know if I'd want to watch the movie.
I know. I feel the same way. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Maybe the dollar store. The dollar theater.
Yeah, maybe we'll go to the $3 theater on the $1.50 night.
Yeah.
Was Patient Zero.
Yeah.
Yes.
That actually looked like it might be cool.
Yeah, it got me. I was like, okay.
Another dumb zombie thing, but with
another
a really
Matt
great
Smith
cast.
Movie?
I mean, to be another zombie movie, and like, for me at least, I'm like, I could care less.
Yeah, no, me too. Yeah.
By the end of the trailer, to have me kind of wanting to watch a movie is quite
a feat. Well, it was a different take
on
it.
And I blame it pretty much all on the Moody Blues. Like like having the Knights in White Satin, I was like, yeah, all right.
So for those of you that don't know, because I didn't know going into it, Patient Zero is about the zombie apocalypse.
Because we don't have enough of those.
Right. And Matt Smith has been infected but isn't showing signs at all. And so he's like acting – he's the anti
– No, I think he got cured somehow, right?
I think he's just straight up immune.
Immune to it. I think he's immune to it. And so he is taking people. He's taking zombie or they're not called zombies. They're called infected. He's taking the infected into
that was made very clear to us.
By Natalie Dormer.
Oh, Natalie Dormer's in it. Yes. Oh, I fucking love her.
So he's
I
taking the infected and putting them in like a glass, like a area to talk to them and try to understand them. And they play the music and try to see where they're, what happens to these infected.
They don't respond well to music.
They don't respond well. And then all of a sudden he meets one infected. Who,
Stanley Tucci.
His Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci. Who, this is a great cast.
I know.
Really good everyone. Cast.
Almost, it's almost like he lets them get him. What do you
it's
call it?
It's very Joker, very what's his name
yes.
in Last
it's
Bond
very
movie.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Too. And so he talks to Stanley Tucci, and Stanley Tucci is the first infected person to actually talk back, but actually be infected. So he's not like immune to it like Matt Smith. He still is infected, but he has feelings, I guess.
I know. It looks really stupid in a
weird.
Great way.
It's
like,
it's really,
you think
really
all of
good.
Us infected are the same. Like,
I know. He's like
a
smoking a cigarette.
He's smoking a cigarette and he's all like, and bring me some liver with so baba
right?
beans and a nice Chianti.
Yeah. It's so interesting. It's going to be, I think it's going to be really interesting.
Oh, and
we'll see how it
Samwell's
goes.
In it too.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We see
Samuel
him,
Tarly.
We see him die. Yeah.
Oh, I know. In the trailer, you see him die.
Oh, so he really doesn't make it long in the movie.
I don't
bless
so.
Him.
John Bradley, that's his name.
Yeah.
I love him. Yeah. So
he was very funny at the Game of Thrones panel.
I don't
him.
Think there's any trailer out for this one. I don't think they released it.
Oh, wow.
But no. They should.
Nobody was trying to sneak footage of that.
I
one.
Know, right? Everyone went to the bathroom during that.
Aww.
But yeah, that was interesting. After that one was Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
This is close to my favorite thing of the day.
Yeah.
Because it started off with a film lesson in 70mm.
Literally,
Like
a video, that was what they did. They taught
video,
us about 70mm.
A video lesson with Samuel Jackson teaching us about 70mm and old
so
roadshow
weird.
Pictures, Ben-Hur, you know, Lawrence of Arabia. And then
why we would want to watch, they're trying to tell us why we would want to see it. Like
and
this.
The irony of this is we go through that 15-20 minutes so that he can show us an extended version of his movie that he's showing at 70mm on a digital projection.
Yeah.
Aww.
But it's how he does it. But that was cool because so he came out, Chris Hardwick hosted this panel as well. So him and Tarantino, you know, shot the shit about stuff and it was really funny and fun. But then they cut to, he was, you know, saying like, well, we have a trailer. Miramax kind of approved it. But I was like, nah, I don't know if this really shows the movie. So we're coming here. And so last week, him and his editor cut together like a 7-minute like primer on the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
It was
really
awesome.
Good. It explained every character really quickly. It was it was done
it was
really well. It was
like
pretty.
A series of character profiles. Yeah.
It was good. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah,
it looks really
it's
interesting.
It's like a closed room, like, and it was all scored to the score from The Thing, which I think is very telling as far as like what he's doing in the movie. But it looks amazing.
Yeah, it does. It looks really good. And what they're doing is they're releasing it in only so many theaters on Christmas Day as a
roadshow.
Yeah, as a roadshow. So it's not being released to everybody on Christmas Day that way. That's just how
theaters that can handle 70mm projection. Mm-hmm.
And then everyone else is getting it like in January is what Ricardo said.
Mm-hmm.
That will also allow it to get Oscar.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
That'll also allow it to get in the Oscar running for this year.
So
and this
really
was also a case of the panel was really good. Like the Q&A was really good.
Yeah.
Spot like every person
the,
had
the
a
questions
great
were
question.
Great.
Well,
yeah.
And even if the question was like a standard question, it was like they turned it into something good. Like someone asked Kurt Russell about like his acting style, and he was like, "That could not be a more perfect question for me." And went off into a whole thing, and it was really great. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was good. And what was who's gonna do? They announced who's gonna do the score.
Oh, Ennio Morricone.
Which is really interesting. He's going to do
it's
the
his first
time.
It's his
that,
first Western film score in about 40 years.
And it's the first time Quentin Tarantino's doing an all original score.
Right. Without any selected music, which I'm interested to see if he holds to. But I guess we'll see. But he was going to do Django, but the turnaround on Django was too quick, so he couldn't score the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, so everyone go see that. I don't know if they've released the trailer for that, but you should watch it.
They not that 7-minute one. I don't think that will be released.
Oh, and they probably don't have a trailer yet. Maybe.
No, I mean, well, they have that one that was approved by Miramax, I'm sure, but Locked and Loaded. But they don't have that 7-minute one, which is again why that was probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah, exclusive.
Yeah, Because you're not.
There
going
was very
to see
little
that.
Comic-Con exclusive things this year. I know. Like it was like there a was, lot of them got posted
right away.
So yeah. this one yeah. and like later there was, we'll there was talk this. About Deadpool hasn't been posted yet.
Oh yeah.
Well,
that's
there
right.
was this and the next thing we'll talk about.
Oh yeah. So the next one was Legendary, which was really exciting. They showed like three different type movies. Mm-hmm. I think the first one, Crimson Peak, that mm-hmm. which is coming out soon.
It is, and Ricardo and I saw an early cut of it.
That's right,
and we
yeah.
really liked it. And this is before the effects were done, so we loved it even before the effects were
Can
done.
Can we talk about how radiant Jessica Chastain was walking out onto the panel?
Oh yeah, she's
like
so
from 300 feet away.
I love her.
Like if she was just in a crowd somewhere, you'd be like, who the fuck is that?
I yeah. almost didn't even recognize her as a brunette in the movie. Oh, I yeah. almost didn't even recognize. I was like, who is that? Why can't I figure it? And then I was like, oh yeah. And she was great. I love Mia Wasikowska too. Was mm-hmm. Wasikowska
oh, yeah, yeah.
And Tom Hiddleston, obviously. They're all great. It looks good. It's not, from what I could, I don't think you saw a final cut, but mm-mm. from what I could tell, it almost doesn't look too spooky. It looks more suspenseful, like Pan's Labyrinth, maybe?
Yes, it is. I would say, because, you know, it is Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah,
so it is
pretty.
in the pan. And it is very pretty. And there are moments where you jump. I mean, there okay. are things that jump out yeah. at you and that does happen. So he does. But in the same way, it's very similar to Pan's Labyrinth. Because,
yeah.
like, I'm not a scary movie person, so I was really nervous going into it. I don't yeah. like scary movies. But I like Pan's Labyrinth. And this one I did like, even though there were points where you kind of jumped. But it didn't feel like it was ever done for the sole purpose of making you jump.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it actually had a reason.
Okay.
You know what
That's
I mean?
That's good. It yeah. looks really pretty. It looks very gothic. I love
it
that style.
It is beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, even when it wasn't, the color wasn't corrected when we saw it and all that kind of stuff, it was still gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see when it's going to be done, it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. I love Guillermo del Toro. He
oh,
is
yeah,
so
he's
funny.
So great.
It was so funny. Right when he came on stage, he was like, okay, guys, everybody, I want you to not clap for Tom Hiddleston when he comes out. It was so funny. But obviously everyone did clap. But yeah, and Tom Hiddleston is just like the perfect little charmer guy.
Oh, he's the most charming man on the earth.
He's so great.
He's a charmer and he's the most polite person
oh,
you'll
my
ever
God.
Meet. And
yeah.
just I met him once, so because we're buddies now. I got to meet him once and he was just the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say that. I love Tom Hiddleston.
They gave us a really cool giveaway at the end. We got it the next day, but from Legendary, that was it was like a virtual reality thing, but it was like a cardboard box, so it was a cheaply made kind of, but it still looks really cool. And there's one whole clip about Crimson Peak that you can see in yeah. it that looks really
cool. You
can
see you put your phone in there and it's like a virtual and you look through it.
Yeah,
and
you like download the app and
like
then they
3D,
show you the thing.
Yeah. It's cool.
It's really neat.
So what else did they do with the Legendary panel
the
after
next one,
Crimson Peak?
Was the next one Warcraft?
Yeah, I think after Crimson Peak was Warcraft.
It was Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
They had so much.
They showed a lot.
Like, I would say it's like 7 minutes.
So it started off by like announcing what the panel was going to be. And then they brought out each actor. This is where the screens became a problem.
Yeah.
They brought out each actor from like the Alliance and the Horde. And it would start by they brought the actor out and then like their poster. They've released all the posters since then, I think. Maybe not all of them, actually.
No,
I think
just the two.
I think
still.
The two, yeah. So, and then they would have their poster image on like either the left side or the right side for Alliance or Horde and then show like a quick like 45 second to a minute like montage of clips with them in the movie. And some of the footage we saw later in like the full clip that they showed. But
yeah,
it was a lot because it's a huge cast. There's
yeah.
So there was like 8 of those, like as they brought them out.
Yeah, there was like 4 for each side.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
goodness.
And then after they had everyone out on the panel, that's when they showed like not only like what could be an extended trailer, but this like 3.5 minute prologue with like the orcs going into
yeah, really,
Azeroth.
Really orc heavy.
Yeah, really orc heavy, which is cool because I hope the movie is orc heavy.
Yeah.
And the stuff they show, like Toby Kebbell as, I don't ever remember the characters' names.
Which one did he look like?
He was the guy when there's the two talking on the cliff face.
Uh-huh.
He's the, not Clancy Brown, but like the other main orc. Anyway.
He's either Ogrim or Duraton.
I think he's Ogrim. He's okay. Ogrim, I think. Yeah, he's Ogrim. But some of the stuff, I mean, so some of the stuff obviously isn't complete. It feels very much like a CG cutscene, but then some of the stuff, especially all the daylight shots, are immaculate.
Yeah, they look done.
They look like amazing.
At this point, the orcs look better than the humans.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Because, well... It's so good. Which is not... Which may make the movie weird because the humans are only thing are the only thing that's not computer generated.
Yeah,
in the movie.
Yeah.
Besides, like the sets that the human beings are on, and the and sure. like the sets and environments that the orc, you know, performance capture artists are on, like everything else is created. But it looks awesome.
Like it looks good. Like I would be okay with what they showed already.
Yeah, and like my reaction to it was, as someone who has like played Warcraft, but also is not as close to it as some people, I don't know. Like it is weird. Like, it is super weird. It is bright and colorful and, like, weird and crazy. Like, I don't know how a general audience member will wrap their mind around it. Yeah, but, like, not dark. That's the thing.
No, it's like dark fantasy medieval setting. But right. yet they're using all these bright colors and, like, cute,
right, right.
Like, they're, like, cute orcs. As cute as you can get an orc.
Yeah, and everything's colorful. Like, when they're pulling souls out of a body, it's, like, this bright blue against this, like, bright green, like, portal into another world. It's, like... And the shorthand for the fantasy stuff to be, like, okay has always been, like, well, it's a little darker. It's, like, a little, like, dirtier and grimier. It's taking, like, the Deadwood attitude towards, like, fantasy. Because, well, shit was dirty back then. So that's what we're going to invoke in, like, Lord of the Rings and any direct-to-video fantasy thing you've ever seen. So, but this is so bright. It's just weird to see. Like, such a big thing being like this. Like, it's going to be weird. I'm really excited and interested.
The story's going to be perfect, I think. It's right before the first RTS game. It's the orcs coming
It's basically into the prologue to the first game.
Yeah. And it just, like, knowing the story myself, I feel like it's going to be easy to follow. Like, from the footage they showed, I mean, yeah, it looked confusing. But I feel like as a movie... It's going to be like if people could follow Lord of the Rings and just walking to different places. And,
sure.
Like, I feel like this is an actual story and you'll be able to follow it instead of just going, who are these people in the woods that are just randomly helping them?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But, oh, and on the panel, probably the best part of the panel is when Clancy Brown, the only thing he ever said was someone asked him a question or Chris Hardwick asked him a question and he answered an orc.
Oh.
And it was and it was simultaneously weird and like scary.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Because he did it for like a minute and a half. Like, it's almost as if he knew the language that was created for this thing, if there was such a thing.
I just want to put it out
and
there.
He did it.
I think this is going to be the first video game movie that works.
That could be true.
I really think it's going to be the first one that
and
works.
And I really like Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah, I liked it, but it didn't work.
But it's terrible. It didn't work. We both agree it's terrible.
But I love watching it.
Yeah, me too.
And, like, even if just Warcraft fans go and watch it, that's more than enough people for it to succeed.
That would be interesting and terrible if it's the first video game movie that actually works. Because it means they'll make a shitload of them that don't. Just like all the shit fan... Like it or not, Lord of the Rings spawned a whole generation of just shitty, by-the-numbers fantasy stuff without any effort.
It's got a really great cast on Warcraft.
Oh, nice.
It's got Paula Patton. Who's wonderful. She plays one of the is it orcs versus humans? Is that what
she plays
is?
A half
more
orc.
Or less.
Okay. So she's on that side. Crossover.
And she seemed the most excited out of all of them. She was like, this was the like craziest thing for me to do. Like playing this half orc, half human, like torn between worlds.
I don't think she's half human. She's a half orc. She's not half human.
Toby Kebbell. Who is Koba from Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
He's fantastic in everything.
Right.
I'm really excited to see him play an orc. Ben Foster is in it. He plays a wizard.
He's good in everything.
He's Medivh.
He's so great. Dominic Cooper. Fucking love him. Mr. Stark. Love
Howard
him.
Stark.
Yeah. He's great. Yeah. He plays like a king.
Oh, is he king?
Love him.
Is he king?
Yeah. Okay. He's so great. Yeah, a bunch of other names I have a hard time. Rob Kaczynski, who's great, too.
Is he the one that was super
He was excited? Another one who was propositioned.
He's the gamer. He's the one that was
He's
the gamer.
I mean, he was like...
Oh, that's right. He was the one who was like, a relationship was ruined.
Because of
And I lost all self-esteem from playing this game.
And now it all makes it worth it. Yeah. This makes it
and
worth
like,
it.
And like the fact that he's excited for it, he's like, I play these games and this movie's doing what I want.
Yeah.
It sold it for me.
Good.
So did Legendary have anything else?
They did one more. They did Krampus.
Which was really interesting.
Wait, is this Krampus based on the scary Santa Claus thing?
Well, but it's the guy who did Trick or Treat, Michael O'Dowerty. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is, but it's like this weird. So it's got Adam Scott, David Koechner,
Toni Collette.
Ugh, it has all these amazing like comedic actors in it. So it's like this. The way they described it, this weird like family dramedy at the beginning, and then it gets fucked up. Like
they're like it's two different movies. Kind of, it's like a whole like family thing, and then it turns into the horror movie.
But the trailer, out of any trailer we saw, that one for me was the best.
It was really good. It was just some Christmas song playing
Silver Bells.
Nobody really talked.
Carol the Bells.
Nobody talked.
Is it coming out at Christmas?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like early Christmas, December. Okay. But it looks really interesting.
And on the convention floor, Weta had like some masks from it. Stuff that they didn't have in the trailer. But it was super excited for.
I really want to see it.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It looks good.
Those are the three that happened during Legendary.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, it was the Women Who Kick Ass panel, which was kind of interesting. I mean, it's, you know, women talking about...
It's similar to the Brave New Warriors panel the day before.
But women. It was really good.
It's good if you're there, but there's not much usually to talk about afterwards.
There's not much to say.
It was really good. Gwendolyn Christie had the great story about Game of Thrones.
She's really good at panels. She was good in every panel she was in.
Listen, this was Gwendolyn Christie, Haley Atwell, Jenna Coleman, Kathy Bates, and a fifth one.
Oh, Jesus.
Who's the other one?
Okay.
Who was the other one? No, that was an amazing...
Who was the fifth? I'm trying to remember who it was. I can't remember.
Beatle? That might have been all of them, actually. But Gwendolyn Christie had the great story about Game of Thrones, about rehearsing the fight with the mountain.
It was Gal Gadot.
Or with the Hound.
Gal Gadot.
Yeah, how could I forget that?
Yeah, how could you forget her?
How could I forget that? Because I fell in love with Gal Gadot.
One.
I know. I fell in love with her because she was the one who was most excited to be there. Like, she was the only one, like, speaking up, like, when they asked a general question of like, the gang.
Oh, yeah.
But Gwendolyn Christie had the great story about practicing the fight with the Hound at, you know, when she kills him.
Yes.
And that they like practice it for weeks and weeks, months, and then right before they were shooting it, there's a part where like she punches him right in the nuts, and he was like, "Do it for real," and she did it. So apparently, when you see it in the show, she's really punching him in the nuts. Also, a guy came up and asked Gal Gadot a question in Hebrew, and it was the most adorable thing I have ever seen. And I wish that the moderator didn't make her translate, so it was like a moment between this guy and Gal Gadot.
That was the only hiccup in the whole thing. It was the moderator.
The moderator wasn't good.
Was it the same one for the Brave New Warriors one? Because she wasn't good at Brave New Warriors either.
She was worse.
Oh, God.
This girl was worse than that one.
Yeah, it was not good. But Gal Gadot, I'm far more excited for her in Batman vs. Superman now after seeing her in that than anything.
No.
She was a sweetheart.
So, yeah. After that was a strange Joss Whedon panel.
Oh, right.
He got an award.
Yeah, he got an award. It was a weird, just like a Q&A with Joss Whedon.
He got a nerd jerk-off award.
That was all it was.
If they had started off with... if we had known that's what it was, I think I would have been more okay with it. It just
felt weird the entire time. I was like, why are we watching this right now?
What did you think it was going to be? It said it was exactly as advertised. It said Joss Whedon. And that's exactly what you got.
I thought they'd show us something.
I expected Joss to say something he's working on next.
This is the next.
He did. He announced his comic.
Yeah, for 1 minute.
And
1 minute. That's
did he
it.
Talk,
he didn't talk about it really.
Did
at
he
all.
Talk well,
that's all
at
the
all
other things.
About
here's,
his experience?
Here's the thing, and then bullshit.
Did he talk about his experience?
No, they talk about that thing.
Wait,
at Marvel.
Yes, did he talk about, because he ended in such an ugly note with Marvel, I feel like, so I'm just curious if they talked about it.
He didn't really talk about it. He, like, would hint at it a little bit here or there, and it almost, Rory and I felt like he was almost, like, saying something at, like, hitting them, you know, but Brandon didn't feel that, so it was like...
It feels like such a bad breakup. Like it started like him and Marvel's relationships were really, really good, you know, with the first Avengers and it was this great relationship and everything was wonderful. And then with Avengers 2, it just sort of really deteriorated into a really ugly breakup is what,
yeah,
I mean, that's
really
what it sounded
it
and
all.
Seemed like.
I feel like all he was talking about was I did these things that took up a healthy percentage of my life on this planet.
Right.
So I'm done with it.
Yeah, that's kind of what he. It was like, so I'm done.
He's just done. He's just done.
Yeah.
Done
yeah.
with Marvel.
I think that's fine.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It just seemed like the breakup was pretty ugly towards the end.
Maybe.
Like the comments he made and
stuff.
But he didn't want to talk about it. That's what I would find interesting is him actually talking about that.
I know.
Like, that's what I want to know.
I know.
But I don't want to know about that in Hall H. I'm there to be, like, amazed.
Oh, okay. Well, I want cool information.
So the next part that came up was 20th Century Fox. That was how we ended the Hall H. What happened at 20th Century Fox?
Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
What are our thoughts? Because like that, everything I've seen about it, I'm like not interested.
I'm more interested in that than Batman Superman. Same level Suicide Squad. It's just in the light of everything else, especially what comes after. It's just like shit.
What, Fantastic Four?
Yeah, it's just it's outshone right now.
Okay,
I just felt like I like Josh Trank. I loved Chronicle. Yeah, I like all the cast.
Yeah, I love.
I've just never been
still my favorite superhero.
I've just never been a Fantastic Four guy. So I'm like, I'll see it. It looks interesting. Whatever.
I didn't see the last Fantastic Four movie, so.
I did. I saw Silver Surfer twice in theaters.
I did not.
Wow.
The new it looks interesting. I'll see it. I like all the cast. The whole cast is great. We'll see where it goes. I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do with the Thing. I kind of want to see what they do with that because from what I heard, they're letting him change back, and I think that's weird. So
I haven't heard that.
Really?
I heard that from someone.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that at all. Yeah.
Oh, I heard that, so I don't know.
I don't know one way or the other, but yeah.
We'll find out when we watch the movie.
That's kind of the thing.
I know, that's what I'm saying. About the thing. That's what I'm saying. If he's able to change back, then it won't work.
That's all the pathos.
It's like he's the one helping out, but he takes the brunt of the punishment.
Exactly.
That was always kind of his...
Well, he takes the brunt of the punishment because he's a giant rock now.
There wasn't much, but
he's stuck as the rock.
Right, exactly.
There wasn't much to show for that, though.
No, he's the Thing.
Guys, let's move on.
It's fine, There wasn't much to say about that one, though, because it comes out, like, next month. So they didn't have anything to really show. Another thing that they showed was the new Maze Runner movie, which I didn't really see first one. But it looks interesting. The first one looks interesting, and the second one looks more interesting than the first one, actually, to me.
The highlight of that for me was that Littlefinger says, Scorch.
He's in it. I mean, the first one looked interesting. I just never got around to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, it looked like they had a lot of inspiration from a popular video game. The things in the tunnels sounded and acted like the enemies in Last of Us. Like everybody that had played that game sitting around us were all looking around.
And that
going,
was in the theater. That was genuinely kind of terrifying.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I felt the same way.
Yeah, it looked good.
It was tense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Esposito. Esposito, I think.
Gus Fring.
Gus from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, I love
is
him.
In it, so that's interesting. And the kid, Jojen from
He was
Game
in the
Thrones.
First one.
Yeah, he's in this one again. So he survives, Gus.
You're like, spoiler alert, he survives.
He's the Maze Runner.
Is
no.
he? No.
Is he not the Maze
no,
Runner?
No, the other kid is. So, yeah, that's coming out. The next thing that showed was Victor Frankenstein. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Oh, with Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe and
James McAvoy.
The
idea
of it sounded way more than what we saw. Better than what we saw.
The trailer was cut like something you saw before the movie rented on DVD.
Yeah.
Like, it was bad. It was
the trailer
a bad
was weird.
Trailer. It was a bad one.
I don't really have much to say about that one. Looked weird.
I liked that they were trying to make it a science and like they put... I liked the twist on what's his name?
Igor.
Yeah. How he's like an assistant now.
Yeah. I liked it too. Everything about it I liked except
the trailer.
Except nothing like.
Except what we saw.
Yeah. Nothing like sold me on it, but I love everything else about it.
God. Oh, and I forgot Toby Keeble is in Fantastic Four too.
He's Doom.
God. Yeah. He's going to be so good.
He's,
I'm excited for that.
After Coba, man, he's every performance capture character that you can have.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be so good. So to end the night, I'm wrong. The second to last thing was, Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool. And that was so exciting.
I'm so jealous. This is what I wanted to see, and I'm so bummed I couldn't see it.
Yeah, Deadpool was good.
Oh my God. They showed us the footage twice. Yeah.
And
they haven't
put that online yet. Yeah. Just like, come on, guys.
I know.
The only thing about it is that every fuck so felt so forced when they first were saying it. Like, I felt like they just kept trying to say fuck all the time. Like, when they first
came out on the panel.
This
is R, here. Well, it's R, I promise.
Well, yeah. So they kept, like, throwing fuck in a weird part of the sentence.
Yeah.
Like, in that intro video of him sitting in, like, the chair, like, sipping brandy or whatever. Like, it just, for some reason, just the rhythm of him saying fuck didn't work at all. But everything in the footage worked. It's just they kept trying to drill, just like J.J. Abrams, which, like, we built stuff. This was, hey, we're going to say fuck and, like, have blood and shit.
I can't picture a better person to be Deadpool than Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah. No,
just as
perfect.
Much as Chris Evans is Captain America.
Yes.
Like,
no.
Liam, Chris Hemsworth is Thor.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
Right? Get the fuck out. Chris Evans is Captain America. No. Get the fuck out.
And TJ Miller is hilarious, so they have a hilarious little thing going on.
Relationship?
Yeah. It looks little thing
going on.
Yeah, I love TJ Miller. I think he's so funny.
Yeah, he was the best part of the panel for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, it looked great. They showed us the clip twice. When they show it, you guys should see it.
I feel like that. I got nothing else to say. Out of everything that day, I got the biggest reaction.
God, yeah, that one.
That's
was
what
my
everyone
thing.
Coming well, out was excited about.
It's because everyone knew was coming.
Everybody knew
like, oh,
Superman
finally.
Batman was coming.
But this was like better.
I feel like people were more excited about Deadpool.
At the Deadpool, no one screamed out, "Was I so excited?"
What?
That was that one guy.
I know, it was the one guy. We didn't talk about that. The guy that was behind us in line when we were sleeping that night, the people that kept me up for like an hour and a half because they wouldn't shut up. Everyone else was asleep
Brandon,
in the line.
It's over.
No, this is important.
No,
he was the only guy.
Not important.
Hold on, he was the only guy in the hall
just
who
tell
kept
us
like,
what they said.
What?
We literally could not understand you because you covered your mouth.
I know it doesn't matter.
Oh,
calm
what did
down.
He say?
He was just screaming shit out the entire time when Batman versus Superman came out. I didn't want to scream into the microphone.
Then don't scream it. Just say what he said.
Holy shit. He just screamed out, "We love you, Zack Snyder!" at Batman versus Superman.
Well, you just, I can't hear you again.
I can't understand what you're saying.
I'm sorry. You're covering your
we
mouth.
We love you, Zack Snyder. It
I
doesn't
have
matter.
On.
I know. It doesn't matter what he was yelling. It was just that he was yelling out.
Oh, and he didn't yell out at Deadpool for some
I don't reason? Remember him yelling out at Deadpool. But I'm saying that you were, never mind. Good God. You were saying the biggest reaction, and I was referencing a thing before when he kept yelling out random shit.
Okay.
That was
okay.
That.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But I wasn't in Hall H that day, so just being outside of Hall H, the thing that everybody was talking about later was not Batman and Superman, was not Suicide Squad. It was Deadpool. That's what everyone was talking about later, the next day.
So after that, Hugh Jackman came out just to talk about the new Wolverine movie.
That's right. Yeah, okay.
There's one final Wolverine movie coming out. It looks like any other Wolverine movie.
You're like, okay. Do we need this?
I know.
They didn't show or say anything
about
it.
They didn't show anything.
How can you say anything about it?
I just
You said
no,
I'm going to be in another Wolverine movie.
I have no. I feel like it's just going to be bad.
Did they then do
every other Wolverine movie?
Did they do
bad.
the next
I feel like he's
X-Men
Wolverine.
Movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's after this.
Oh, okay.
If anybody's anybody, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
For sure.
That's true. He said this is going to be the last one. Because
he's getting old. Like, he's getting too old to
do
the
action stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So, and then the final thing of the night, they brought out everyone that's going to be in the new X-Men Apocalypse movie.
Oh, cool.
So that's the usual, the original, not the original, the first class people. So Jennifer Lawrence and Michael Fassbender.
James McAvoy.
Filled up the stage.
Oh, wait, question.
Yeah. So many
wait,
no one
wait,
else refers
wait, to wait, I need to know something. Was Nicholas Holt there?
Yes.
Yes, he was there.
Did he stand near Jennifer Lawrence?
No, they sat for like three or four people apart.
Yeah. Okay. I just want the gossip.
And Hugh Jackman
did they talk?
Sat,
did they look at each other?
In Jennifer Lawrence's lap for a second. That was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Stan Lee came on the stage.
And almost fell off and died.
And almost fell off. I don't think they showed us anything.
But Channing Tatum saved...
For Apocalypse? Oh, they showed it twice.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. I forgot.
But Channing Tatum bravely saved Stan Lee's life. I saw that clip
we
on
the
interwebs. We
saw James McAvoy bald.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
We saw Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Olivia Munn was there.
Olivia Munn was there.
Who did she play? I told you like seven times.
I don't remember.
Psylocke.
Olivia Munn.
How was the footage?
It looks pretty good. It wasn't really any. It was just a bunch of people looking at stuff.
They've been filming for like 4 weeks. I know
they don't have much to show.
Yeah. I liked First Class, so I'll
Yeah, First Class was the best X-Men movie.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I did enjoy First Class.
At the very end.
When you
end,
think about it, you'll agree.
At the very
end. Did you see Wolverine?
At the very end, Stanley came out with Channing Tatum because of Gambit.
Oh, right.
They brought, brought him out. And then that was pretty much the end for us in Hall H. You went in after us.
I did. I went into the last panel of the night was the WB TV panel. And that, I only went in for half of that. I went in to see Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow. The thing that was, I'll just say, they didn't have any new footage because they haven't started filming. Arrow and Flash went back like Monday this week, so they didn't have anything new to show. And Legends of Tomorrow, we just saw the trailer that's been out there for ages. Couple interesting points from that. Arrow, Stephen Amell did come out on stage at the beginning of the Arrow panel in the brand new Green Arrow suit. So he is getting a new suit. He is going to be the Green Arrow. And they said that that's going to be where the next season's going, which means as the Green Arrow, he's going to be more jovial, less dark. He will even be throwing jokes around in the Arrow cave. So that was one thing that they said about the next season, that he's happier. I mean, we left him with him and Felicity in a car driving off into the sunset. So he's in a happier, better place. We don't know what brings him back to Starling City, they didn't say. And then after that was the Flash panel. Again, no new footage. What they did show was they showed like a clip of a white Flash, interestingly, going running around the Central City and had voiceover with like hints of where next season's going to go. Barry was sort of talking about how he maybe should have saved his mom. So I think there's going to be some kind of issues there. And the thing that got the biggest reaction on that was during the voiceover, we did hear the introduction of Jay Garrick. Jay Garrick being one of the original Flash. So since we left the Flash running into a black hole, what the belief is that we are opening up parallel worlds. And they did mention in the panel that we will be going to Earth 2. So that's where I think Jay Garrick's going to fit in. And they also mentioned in this coming season of the Flash, we will also have Wally West, which is another Flash. Because as you know, Flash jumps between parallel worlds a lot. So there's different Flashes in all these different parallel worlds. So we're going to be seeing different versions of the Flash. I'm curious if that's where we're going to see Killer Frost or if the Caitlin that we know is going to be Killer Frost. I almost feel like that's probably going to be a parallel version of her. They didn't say, but that's where I think that's going. And then they did the Legends of Tomorrow panel, which was, really, they didn't have a lot to say. They didn't have a lot to show. They haven't started filming yet. They've basically filmed that like sizzle reel that everybody's seen. So, we don't know. We do know that White Canary somehow being resurrected, that Katie Lotz is coming back and she is going into the Lazarus pits. And one thing that she said that was interesting is that, as we know, if you go into the Lazarus pits, you're going to be a different person when you come out. You're not the same person that you go in. And that for her, she's very dangerous because she doesn't fear death. Because she's been dead, so she doesn't fear death. That panel, they didn't have a lot to say because they really haven't filmed much and they don't want to have spoilers. But they did say it's going to be a mid-season show. So they said they are going to be setting up a lot of these characters that are going to be in Legends and Tomorrow on the Flash and Arrow. So Flash and Arrow coming back, we're going to be setting up like how Ray Palmer gets out of that explosion, because we know he was miniaturized, but the rest of the city thinks he's dead. So how does he become, get back to being Adam, being back to being Ray Palmer? And then we're also maybe going to learn about how Sarah becomes White Canary. So they're going to be introducing the characters in the Flash and Arrow before introducing the show. So it's not coming in until mid-season. And they're not going to start filming until September. So they have plenty of time and we have nothing to show. And then I did not stay for Supergirl or Gotham. I left. I was like, okay, that's all I wanted to see. Yeah. And then I left. I did not stay for the Supergirl pilot. So I have no idea how that panel went or anything like that.
And then you also did Supernatural on Sunday, right?
Yeah, on Sunday, and I had to sit through Vampire Diaries. I really don't know anything about Vampire Diaries.
I don't think anybody cares about
they're very they're very attractive cast. They are not hard on the eyes at all.
Well, girls like them.
And girl, young, and young people girls scream. Like them. When they come up on stage. And then I did the Supernatural panel. Again, they'd only been shooting for 4 days, so they didn't have any footage. What they showed is they did like a retrospective of the last 10 years video. And then at the end, of course, they show the gag reel, which is they show every year. It's sort of their tradition to show the gag reel, which is always fun. Things that we learned on the Supernatural panel. Crowley, or Mark Shepard, was on the panel. So in the last episode of Supernatural, we left with... it looking like Castiel was going to be killing Crowley. But he is in this season coming up. So we don't know if he does actually die, that he doesn't get killed, or if he somehow gets resurrected. And, they did mention that this coming season of Supernatural is going back to the first season ideas of the boys against the world. For the first time in a long time, neither of the boys have anything wrong with them. You know, the Mark of Cain's been cured off of Dean. So, now it is once again them going on an epic journey together. They're not going to be against each other for once in a long time. So, and they're not going to be trying to cure each other. That's just about the boys going on an epic adventure against something else and having a big bad being the darkness, quote unquote. So that was kind of it for the Supernatural panel. Again, they didn't have any footage to show. Mm-hmm. This year's Comic-Con was so early. Usually it's
before
later.
People start filming.
Yeah, usually it's later in July. So a lot of shows either just got back from hiatus or haven't gotten back from hiatus yet. So it felt like almost all the shows that they had very little to show.
Yeah.
Next year, it's going to be at the end of July again. So
it
it'll
be helpful.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be good. We'll actually have footage. But this year, it was like nobody had any footage to show from the TV shows because everybody was still on hiatus. So
yeah. Other than that, we kind of like all walked the floor a little bit. There was some great stuff in Artist Alley. I guess a good way to end it would be, what was everyone's like winner of Con? What was your favorite thing that you saw? Brandon?
Well, we breezed past it. My favorite night was probably the night we got there, Wednesday night, the preview night.
Oh, walking the floor.
Oh, just walking the floor.
Yeah, walking the floor.
Yeah, being a part of it.
Well, I...
being in the mix.
No, I just, because that was the point. See... like all the stuff in Hall H, save for Warcraft and Deadpool, I could see all that anytime I want now.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't be worse for wear for having waited a little bit for it. But the stuff, you know, the stuff on the floor, it's been so long since I've ever been to any convention like that. Like when I got separated from you guys because I decided to go to the bathroom. And so I, when everyone was being fed, when everyone was being fed, which side note, the bathrooms are all adorable at Comic-Con. At least the men's bathroom, because they always split in between the stalls and the urinals, and no one goes to the urinals. Everyone is bladder shy, and it's amazing. Or every guy who goes to Comic-Con is just taking a shit left and right. And I don't think that's the case. Yeah. But when I, so when I got separated, I got fed out, I got fed out in Artist Alley. So I was walking around mostly Artist Alley.
I love Artist Alley. That's my favorite part of the floor.
It was my favorite part of the whole thing because I got to, Jeff Darrow was one, an artist I've loved for years now. I got to buy a print directly from him.
Mm-hmm.
And
he
drew a sketch.
Sign it, yeah.
Yeah, he drew a sketch for me, signed it, and I bought it from him.
It's probably cheaper for you to buy it from him even than to buy it through the, like,
well,
a website
but even,
or something.
But that's,
too.
But it, yeah, but even if it was more expensive, I mean, I wish it was more expensive. Remember, I tried to give him a 20
yeah,
and he wouldn't take
it.
Yeah, I tried to give him a 20. I was like, no, it doesn't matter. Just keep it. And he was like, no. I can't remember his line. It was, you know, he had some like remark about not, you know, not being a criminal or something like that. But it was, but it was great. And then like Brandon Bird, I got to buy a bunch of stuff from Brandon Bird, like himself. Like it was fantastic. That was easily my favorite part of the entire weekend.
I love Artist Alley. I always, that's my last thing I do on Sunday before I leave. And I actually bought a print this year and I bought a book this year on Artist Alley. Just, and again, you get to meet the artists. Like you said, they sign the work. You get to see all their stuff. You get to tell them how much you enjoy their work, as opposed to if you bought it online, you would just, you know, you don't get to talk to them.
I
love doing it. Like, but that's usually my last thing I do on Sundays before I head out, is I walk up and down Artist Alley and buy stuff.
It's just, at no other point in the weekend was I filled with the same glee as like, oh shit, you are Jeff Darrow.
Right.
Like you're the guy who did this.
That was one thing that was missing for me this year is usually in the Xbox Lounge, they have a bunch of smaller games and the developers there.
Yeah, you're talking about that with Cuphead. Like, I don't know why the guys behind Cuphead weren't
there. Maybe we just hit a horrible spot, or maybe they were there.
We didn't know.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe it was the time you were there. They were on, like, they were doing something else. Or...
Normally, the Fable guys were there.
Yeah, and they were great to talk
to. And they were the best to talk
to. And they were super excited, and they were talking you through it.
That's usually how it is for almost everything that's smaller. It's just this year they have so many big games coming out trying to compete with the other guys. But like how you talk to those artists, that's how I love to be playing somebody's game and have them like over my shoulder, not giving me tips, not giving me advice, just talking to me about what like they were thinking when they were making it.
Yeah.
And that wasn't really there this year for me.
With the Fables guys it was.
Well, you were talking to the one guy. I talked to them last year is the only thing.
Oh, yeah. Was it the same guys?
Yeah.
Oh.
The one guy that ended up going on stage, I talked to him last year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What was your favorite thing?
Favorite thing was Deadpool and playing Battlefront.
Yeah.
When does Battlefront come out again?
Battlefront's November.
November. Okay. That's pretty cool. What was your favorite thing?
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. The concert was great.
The panel or just the concert?
I liked the panel and the concert. I thought the panel was really cool. Seeing everybody, like, the fact that they got the legacy actors up there, you know, and Harrison Ford was in such a good mood, which is, I was not expecting. So it was great to have the whole cast, and even JJ, who always seems to like hate the idea of being at these things because he doesn't like spoilers or what have you, seemed genuinely excited to be at Comic-Con, like to be in this crowd. Mm-hmm. Like this is where Star Wars started. And like then they kind of talked a little bit about the history of Star Wars at Comic-Con and how it's been, you know, since Star Wars, like before A New Hope, it was at like Comic-Con in, you know, 75, you know, like they had a little table and like Mark Hamill standing by the table and no one knew who he was, you know, like, and that. So I really liked the Star Wars panel and I liked the concert. It was really fun and I love fireworks. So cool.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with Deadpool. Definitely my favorite. I was so excited for it when it showed. I could not be more excited. I feel like that glee that you felt with those artists is what I felt like when I watched that.
When she talked to Ryan Reynolds through her head.
In my dreams that night.
I didn't know it was coming out in February. Holy moly,
I know,
that's close.
Soon. I'm excited.
Yeah, I was reacting to Suicide Squad
the same
in
time
August.
As Batman vs. Superman. Batman vs. Superman's coming out in February next year, too.
March.
Why are they coming out
February
so which weird?
Maybe it's a different.
Times.
I don't know.
Maybe it's a different. Maybe
that's a weird time. To come
listen,
out.
Who wouldn't want to go to Valentine's Day and to see Deadpool?
Right. We probably will. Ricardo and I, I'm sure we will. We always go see something like that.
Oh no, you're right. It does.
This
March.
Year we saw what maybe was that? The King. The yeah.
Anyways,
The Kingsman. That's what we saw this year on Valentine's Day.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we did that too.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to us. I hope it wasn't too long for you guys. If you want to see some of our posts, we posted some Twitter stuff. We posted some stuff on the Pop Cult Binge website. That's popcultbinge.com. You can follow us at Pop Cult Binge or, I think we're still doing at the Film Podcast, Ricardo. You can follow me on Twitter at Janae, at Janae. That's J-E-H-N-E-I-G-H. Brandon.
At BL Bennett.
At Groat Heartstroke.
At Michelle Coyle.
Perfect. Follow us along and we will see you next week.
What do I have to press? The space bar?